your heart for us pulsating, how you love us, how you embrace us, how you draw us in, how you draw us to you, Lord. Lord Jesus, oh God, though others despise the cross, we see that it was a way for you to be lifted up. And when you were lifted up, we could be drawn unto you. And no man comes to the Father but through you. And only God, you can draw. You're the one who draws us to the cross. It's something divine to be drawn to the cross. It's a very ugly place. It's not something people want to go to, because the cross is where we have to face ourselves. We have to face who we are. We have to face the fact that we're coming up short. We fall short of your glory, Lord. We can't make it into your heaven, Lord. But then the cross makes a way. Makes a way. The cross kills us, but Jesus on the cross gives us access, gives us life. Because that should have been us. We should have died on the cross, Lord. But you gave us access. Oh God, you yourself came and became one of us and suffered for us and died that we may live for you, that we may inherit righteousness from you, Lord. Bless your word, we pray this morning. We ask you to come, Lord, truly in a greater measure of your presence, not just in the worship, but in the preaching of the word. May you step down in the words, O God, and fill every heart, mind, and soul with an overcoming power. Lord God, overwhelm us with your spirit and your presence, O Lord, that we may walk out of here with great power and strength, knowing who it is who resides within us, who it is who is in us, hallelujah, who is greater than he that's in the world. Grant it, Father. We humbly ask it in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen, amen, amen. Wonderful Savior. Appreciate the worship. The Lord is good and keeps us safe and secure and filled with expectation and excitement. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is just helping us so much, you know. You know, so much of the time we have challenges, right? In our normal life, you know, you're going to have challenges of just life and work and marriage and children and growing up and all those things. But we live in an age when the challenges are exponentially greater. I mean, there's just so much to overcome and so many moving parts. And, you know, we have all these gadgets and things to make life supposedly easier, but instead we have a more complex life than ever before. And it's a lot of stuff that's really out of our control. And so this is great. You know, we come here so we can just lay it all down, right? We're going to thinking about passing the offering basket around with another basket will be for phones. Like, I'm collecting phones. But I use mine to read my Bible, brother. I know, I do the same thing. But it's just a thought, you know. Sometimes I feel like we're so attached to things and it's unmanageable that we need to find ways to get detached and get alone, get on the backside of a desert and do it regularly, because you'll just get grounded. You just get grounded, you know, and then you're back at it. So that's where it's going to come from. If you have your Bible, we'll turn to Genesis chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. Hallelujah. Genesis 13, 1 through 5. Abraham has traveled from Ur of the Chaldees. He's gone all the way through the promised land and he's found his way into Egypt and now out of Egypt and back into the region of what's called the promised land. So it says, then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, to the south, which is the Negev, the southern part of Israel. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. May God bless his word. You may be seated. Well, let's just take a second segment on the thought of the secret to success. And, you know, it sounds like we're having some kind of a personal development session or something like that. But this is beyond that, folks. This is beyond that. Personal development is trying to tell you how to fix yourself. There really is no way for a human to fix himself. There really is no how. We ought to have a why, but a how is questionable what we could even do. But the why is him. Why? We need him. The reason you can't fix yourself is because you need him. I need him. And he who made us can unravel the mystery of our lives and bring about great results. So the word success simply means to get the results you're intending. God says that when I send my word out, it will not return unto me void. It's going to fulfill what I intended it to do, and it will prosper. It will prosper. See, wherever God's word goes, it prospers. Now, when God is speaking about prospering, when we look at it from a human vantage point, we're thinking money has nothing to do with money. All right? Money is just a byproduct of something else. Prospering, really, prospering with God is to become rich spiritually, to become wealthy in relationship with him, wealthy in experience with him. Abraham was a man of wealth. The finances came secondarily. It was only a sign that something else was going on. But Abraham had been poor too. So even when he was spiritually strong, sometimes he had very little. Jacob, when he was the most spiritually rich, was when he gave away everything. Yeah, we'll study that. He gave it to Esau. He gave it all away, and Esau, of course, hands it all back. But it's very, very interesting when you really understand it, that God can bless you on all levels. It doesn't make you any better than anybody else. Doesn't make you any worse. Somebody can go through life never really having much to claim as any kind of natural wealth and be super wealthy spiritually. Somebody can be spiritually, super, super wealthy just because they have such deep experiences with Almighty God. To have somebody be able to comment and say, hey, these guys are ignorant and unlearned, but they've been with Jesus, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. So keep that in mind. Last Sunday, we dealt with the first thing we need to know about the secret to success, and that is to have a deep, meaningful relationship with the creator of the universe. I mean, if you're connected with the guy that made it all, if you're connected to the guy that owns it all, who cares about someone who lives in Omaha who's the richest man in the world? Who really cares about Bill Gates? Who really cares? That's great, but look who I'm connected with. Those guys follow certain biblical principles and they get results. All God is asking us to do, like he asked his nation Israel to do, is have me, but follow my principles. So that way you get to have both. You get to have the best of both worlds. And you don't have to say, I either got to choose one or the other. But there's certain things to keep in mind. Like the Bible's pretty clear about don't be seeking for wealth or money or riches. Don't spend your life trying to get gain. Remember, the gain we already have is so tremendous, everything else pales. To me, to die is gain. Why? Because then I get to be with Jesus in a closer way. So there's our gain. Our gain is to be a believer. Our gain is to be in the family of God, to be born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, an inheritor of eternal life. That's huge. That's huge, because people who have tremendous amount of physical wealth on this earth are going to pass away one of these days, and what do they take with them? It's not like the Egyptians thought, if we bury you, we'll bury you with a bunch of bars of gold. When they go dig up the mummies, they find the bars of gold are still sitting there. Oh, rats, he didn't take it with him. We learned about bars of gold, right? It's just paving for us. Paving company. It's called Gold's Paving Company. Have you been, you're a part of that? It's a great company. So that's number one. What we're going to look at today is, and this is really, really important. This is why people don't have the kind of success they want to have in their lives. This is why I struggle with it. You struggle with it. You have success in other areas. You don't even think about it. There's things that you do that other people look at you and say, how do you do that? And you go, what? Doesn't everybody do this? No, not everybody does it. You're built and wired in such a way, and perhaps the way you were raised, you picked up things and you just do things a certain way and you keep getting results and it works for you, and other people are kind of awestruck. What are you doing? And you can, and actually sometimes there's things that you do that people are awestruck about, and you can't even think about how to put it into words. Like, I don't even know. I just do it, you know? And some of that comes naturally. God gave you that. You could be born at a certain time in your life. Your family raised you a certain way, your parents. But it's something maybe you picked up later in life, and you learned it, and you built a skill. And to the point where you do it without even thinking about it. You know, if somebody asks you, how do you drive a car? You drove a car to church? How did you drive it? You'd be like, what? I mean, huh? Because it's not something you even have to think about. Does anybody remember what happened on the road here to church? Do you remember every tree you went by and the birds and the sun, the way it was shining? I mean, you don't remember, right? You just got here. How did you get here? I must have turned the key. I guess I probably put it in drive. I guess there are certain things that we just do automatically, and it's success. We're constantly having success all the time. But there may be some big mountains we'd like to have moved, maybe some waters we'd like to have parted. You know, there may be some things that we'd like to have happen that we're wondering why it's not happening. So I want to deal with the second thing, and the second reason why people struggle with success with their finances, their marriage, their health, with goals in their lives, whatever it might be, is because of the voices they're listening to. You're going to find that God is very clear from the beginning of the Bible to the end. At the beginning of the Bible, it says the voice of God was walking in the garden and Adam and Eve hid, you know. So God's voice plays this big role at the very beginning. He said, let there be light. His voice was playing this huge role on getting results. And at the end of the Bible, we read that Jesus is knocking on the door of his own church. Why is he outside the church, saints? Do you ever think of that? He's knocking on the door, and it says, whoever hears my voice, I'll come in and sup with him. It becomes an individual thing. It's not a church thing anymore. And so it's really important that we ask ourselves, who are we listening to? You know, what voices? The Bible says there are many voices that have gone out into the world. But there's one certain voice. There's a still small voice, right? So number one, we would understand that it would be the voice of God. God's voice is what we must be listening to. It's what we must be seeking after. It's really how Solomon became such a wise king. He made it very clear to God. He said, don't just throw money at me. Don't throw popularity at me. Teach me. Give me wisdom. Speak into my life wisdom from you. And Solomon got good at hearing God's voice. See, these people of the Bible, the reason why God chose these people to fill the Bible and become part of it is because they became very good at listening to the voice of God. And they listened through all the channels available. The apostles and prophets. I mean, we've got the Old Testament, New Testament, Jesus' ministry, we've got all that. You can just absorb it. You can read it whenever you want to. We live in a great day. It used to be in the Middle Ages and even during the Reformation period, it was hard to even find a Bible. And if you found one, it might not have been in your language. You know, so very, very difficult to even get the word in your life. But listen to the right voices. Amen? So, pardon me, the fivefold ministry. God doesn't have a ministry on this earth for nothing. You know, that's why we're here in church. We want to hear, really, it still ends up being God's voice. It's just he's speaking through his chosen method. Though the world thinks it's foolish to preach the gospel, but with God, it's the wisest thing you can do. It's just a matter of getting people to believe you, right? Prayer, when you pray, you know, prayer is an open conversation between you and God. You may start in the morning, you may be driving in your car later on, and you're continuing that conversation. You may be at work, and something comes up, and now you jump back into that conversation. I love this open-ended conversation with God. It's the most amazing thing we get to do, saints. We are, unlike those two Catholic guys sitting at the bar who looked at each other and says, hey, we get to live, I feel sorry for those Protestants. We get to live any way we want all week long, and then we can go clean it up every week. It's really cool. And those poor guys, but what they don't know, and I don't know about Protestants, maybe they have a point there, but what they don't realize is for the true believer, think about it, you have an open, unhindered relationship and fellowship with all the creator of the heavens and the earth. You don't have to go through any channels. He's right here. He can hear you. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're feeling. He's responsive. It's beautiful. What a blessing. We get to do this. You get to wake up in the morning and embrace the Lord. And he's already hugging on you. Isn't it great? Remember when you were a baby, you woke up and your mom and dad is already hugging on you? It's like, that's a great feeling. Some of us want to get that back. Well, you get to have that back. That's the beauty of who we are and what we get to enjoy. Prayer, that conversation, fellowship. When you're talking with a brother or sister, listen. Sometimes they'll say something and you'll realize, whoa, that's just what I needed to hear. And I think I'm a little better Christian than her, but wow, what she just said, really, you know, where did that come from? Well, if a donkey can speak to a wayward prophet, then why can't God use one of us, you know, stones to cry out and say something that could really help? Because what is it? It's really God in each one of us. Even a baby Christian has God in them. So in fellowship, you get to hear from the Lord. The problem with a lot of fellowship is a lot of us, as humans, we have a conversation with ourselves. Now, I recommend you start learning how to shut your conversation off with yourself. Because this is the biggest hindrance to hearing from God, hearing anything that's helpful in your life, because we're so busy. It's another subject I'm going to get into next time, but we're so busy with our head conversation that we're missing the real conversation, the eternal one. And we die 1,000 deaths, and we worry about all kinds of stuff, and nothing ever really happens that we worry about. Well, sometimes they do, because, you know, Job said, that which I greatly feared has come upon me. So we don't want that. But if you could just think about this for a minute, you know, when you're in conversation with somebody, learn really to listen. When you're reading your Bible, don't be distracted. Get into it. Focus. You know, God is very clear with Joshua. Do you want to prosper and be successful? Then take Moses' words, which are my words, and meditate on them. Focus on them. Don't look to the left or to the right. Don't be distracted. If you take any promise of God and have it with the right mental attitude, it has to happen in your life. I don't know how to emphasize that enough. We're all coming up short with that one. But if you can take any promise of God and then bring to bear with that promise your attitude of heart and mind and make it a focused, concentrated thought pattern, create whole entire new neural pathways in your brain that just make them add up. You have the potential of several billion neural pathways. I wonder how cluttered our neural pathways are. We got the worst traffic jams in our brains you've ever seen. And if you can create a bunch of pathways all heading in the same direction, a focused concentration. When God said, let there be light, I think he just sat there and thought light. Because Brother Bram says, ultimately he believed his own word. If you can just speak it and then just believe it. Believe it. Now do something believable. Speak something believable. Don't go overboard. I'm going to be a multimillionaire tomorrow. You know, I'm going to have a brand new car tomorrow. Whatever. You don't need to do all that. But what you need to do is just get the right mental attitude. Be happy. Be happy. We should wake up every day with bliss, with joy. I get to live another day. I get to be Jesus on earth again. This is great. Don't wake up in the morning and go, oh, another day. No, you got an opportunity. You get to go to work and be Christ. You know, Paul said that, to die is gain, but to live is Christ. And the life I now live, it's the life of Jesus Christ. So, fellowship, enjoy it. Listen to the other person. Listen for God to speak to you through your wife or your husband or your children. Children will say the most amazing things. And you know it's God. Worship. When you're worshiping, you're not just pouring out something on God. It's retroactive. It's still a conversation. Worship is the sister of prayer. You know, as important as breathing air is, so is water. Right? 7 minutes without air, your brain dead. 7 days without water, you're physically dead. Right? You got to have both. You need prayer, but you need worship. You need to have a heart and a spirit of gratitude. Amen? My poor thing is going to die on me, so that would be it. This is one Bible that could die on you. I didn't charge it. That's my fault. Let me go through it. But don't you love the way? So worship. Let God speak to you. Nature. Just get out in nature. Just get away from all the hubbub of life and just listen to the birds, God's radio, right? Listen to the animals and nature, and let God speak to your soul and to your heart. And then look at people. Their lives are voices. People who are getting what you're looking for. People who are succeeding. You may have a parent who makes a certain meal that you're trying to make, and it keeps falling, and you're saying, I'm making it exactly the way my mom made it. I make it exactly the way. I've got her recipe. And it's not coming out right. Go talk to mom. You know there's something missing on the written page. There's a little hidden secret between the lines there that maybe you just saw. It's so weird that dad wrote a little love note on that recipe. That wasn't a love note. That was a secret about what goes in there. You know, talk to your mom. People who are getting the results you want, hang around with them. Get close to them. Find out what they're doing and learn it. And most of it is just learn the attitude. It's the spirit that we do things in. Do you believe that? So think about that. And then we get to look back in the Bible and look at, you know, Hebrews 11. It's just a list of amazing people. We get to follow. There are examples. Those are our mentors. Abraham, the father of our faith. Can you say amen? His life speaks volumes. The Bible says, then Abraham went up from Egypt, as we read it. And it says that he was very rich with livestock, silver, and gold. But notice, really, his wealth was family. He was with his wife. He was with his law and everything. But what I want you to catch, and this is something really amazing, before my battery dies, is this: that Abraham traveled very, very far with all his blessings. He never just waddled back into the promised land and then sat down on his merits and said, look how rich I am. I did great. He never did that. He didn't do that at all. And in fact, he knew it was God. Because first of all, he got his wealth in Egypt, which he wasn't supposed to be there. He was out of the will of God, and God still blessed him. And he lied when he was in Egypt. You remember that? And God still blessed him. So two reasons why he should walk away with nothing. In fact, less. Instead, he walks away with more. Why? He could not say, I did it. He could say, I actually did a couple of things that I should be in worse condition. And instead, God just says, but I love you anyway, and here you go. Boom. Isn't it amazing? The Egyptians gave him that. They said, here, we want you to leave. We're afraid of you. Go, take all this. Take the cattle. Take the cows. Here's some gold and silver. And he was wealthy. And now, but what he does is he travels from Egypt all the way, like the path that children of Israel took, basically, but he didn't have to do the wilderness thing. And he went up through the southern part of Egypt or Israel and all the way to the middle of Israel where Bethel is, which is just across the Jordan and so on. It's up in the hill country. And he goes there because in that place was when he came from Ur the other way. He had made his first altar to worship and to thank God for the promise of the land. Even though he didn't receive any of it, he just thanked God for it anyway. This is teaching you something, saints. We always wait till God gives us something to thank him. Abraham had gone back to the place where he thanked God in advance when he kneeled down at an altar and he basically had just his wife and Lot and nothing else. They had nothing. They might have had a couple of camels to ride on, but they basically had nothing. He's coming back wealthier than he could ever imagine. Now he has power to purchase land if he wants to, and he ends up purchasing land. Well, here's the point I'm making with you, saints, is here's someone who's showing you one of the great secrets to success. Success, we all have success, but you can grow on it. It can grow and become better and better. This is where we fail. We tend to say, okay, I'm so grateful I got this. This is, I don't know if I can take any more. No, Abraham was willing. He did what you're supposed to do. When God blesses you and he gives you success and the results you're looking for, give gratitude back to him. Even if you have to travel the whole way to get back to the place where it's the best. Get back in a place in your life where you can be fully open in your heart and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for my home. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my blessings. Be thankful. It's very hard for us. We live in a complaining world. We're raised by complaining systems, and we learn how to be a complainer. And this is not what Abraham did. You'll notice Lot doesn't do it, but Abraham does. You think Lot would have learned a lesson, but the Bible says Lot was rich too. Did you want to read that? Next verse. Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. But he That's it, period. You'll notice that the spirit and the attitude of gratitude determines your destiny. It determines that if you have something, God can make it grow. But if we go without that attitude of gratitude and appreciation, both before God does it and after God does it, it's really great to sandwich it. Act like God's already done it. That's the secret. And then when he's done it, go back and say, I'm shocked you did this. You know, God's like, what do you mean? This lets God know how deep your relationship is being based on you. You're making the relationship deeper. He won't force himself on you. He's a gentleman. But you can bring him to a place where you can shut the angels down and all the other stereos down and just listen to you. Your worship is amazing to him. So Abraham teaches us a valuable lesson about what we should do when we experience success and blessings. We need to show the Lord our appreciation. Do you believe that? Look at the differences between Abraham's destiny and Lot's. There's a direct correlation between the grateful attitude and our being grateful and our ultimate success. There's just a connection there. When God prospers you and gives you success, don't let it go to your head. Amen? Watch what happens in Psalm 36 through 7. Now, in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by your favor, you have made my mountain stand strong. See how he's changing his attitude? He said, when I was doing well, when I was super prosperous, David speaking there, he just said, I'll never be moved. That's a dangerous thought. Because he comes out of his old thinking that he had, Psalm 30, going through different challenges in his life experience, he says, but Lord, it is you who gave me favor. It is you who have made my mountain stand strong. But then he says, you hid your face from me and I was troubled. So how David learned that I can't say, because of what I've done, I'm doing super great. How he learned was because God had to sometimes turn from him. And there's times when God will turn his face from you, his blessings from you, his sunshine from you. And you'll go through some challenges because he wants you to turn back to him and say, wait a minute, Lord, my mountain is strong, but it's because you have made it strong. You have established me. You have blessed me. Brother Branham said Napoleon became a great conqueror. He was a gentleman to start with, but success went to his head. A message called Faith is Our Victory. Amen. Jeremiah 22:21 says, I spoke to you in your, God said, I spoke to you in your prosperity, but you said, I will not hear. You know, when people become wealthy, it's almost like if you eat a big meal at Thanksgiving and then you go driving down the road and you go by the exact same restaurant that you absolutely love, you don't even look. You could care less because you're stuffed. You go by hungry, it's a different story. You have to fight with the steering wheel. No, you will not go there. And it's because we get that way when we feel so blessed. And sometimes God will, he'll just bless you. He'll fill you with so much of his word, his information, his inspiration, his wisdom. And he'll sometimes have to just kind of step back a little bit and let you absorb it. He's not going to give you more. That'd be just pouring water on a full bucket. It just rolls off the edges. So just wait until it's absorbed. And he says, this has been your manner from your youth, that you did not obey my voice. And that was what it was. They had it, but then they let it go to their head. They had some level of success, and that was enough. Some level of happiness, and that was enough. What we need to do, saints, is just have an open, empty cup all the time. Say, Lord, I'm willing for more. Teach me more. Give me more. Let me just keep falling in love with you over and over again. Amen. And then finally, I'll read these last two scriptures. But I think they're very powerful. Moses is giving warnings in Deuteronomy, which is the last thing he spoke before they went over the Jordan River. In Deuteronomy 6:10-12, Deuteronomy chapter 6:10-12 says, so it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things, which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt
and from the house of bondage. See how that works? And it's so easy sometimes for us to forget. We get caught up in the hubbub of life and work, and we do this cycle of our work. We get results. You know, we work so many days a week, we get a paycheck. So many days a week, we get a paycheck. And we can find ourselves getting into these routines where we're thinking, I work, I make money, it's mine. And God, the reason he set up the tithe system was just to help us come to the place of realizing, do I really have the attitude that I'm the one that got this wealth? Or do I have the attitude, God's given me this? Do I have the attitude that 100% is mine and I'm going to give God 10%? Or do I have the attitude that 100% is God's and I'm just giving him back 10? He's letting me keep 90. Wait, Brother Elijah, I worked hard for it. All right, well, let's find out what the Bible says. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 7 through 18, Moses in the same theme is saying the same thing, but a little bit more details. Watch this. I got 2%. We can do this, saints. For the Lord your God, you guys think I'm only joking, but it's true. It's funny. Okay, Lord, bless this battery. Let it just last. Hallelujah. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity. Saints, are we in the third Exodus or not? Spiritually, this is true. We should have so much. Really, we do. We have all this spiritually being poured into us. In which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. Brother Josh, I know you love that one. That's your favorite part. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have are multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and my might and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as in this day. Got to be careful. Success will be very fleeting, because you'll gain a little bit of it, and then you'll think, look what I've done, and then it's gone. And you wonder, what happened? You'll have some success with your family that you may have a relationship you're struggling with, and then all of a sudden it's gone. Why? You think, wow, I did something right. Wow, that's great. Don't think like that. Always constantly bring the Lord on the scene. He's helping you get results. And then constantly reward him with your praises and thanking him for all the results he keeps on giving you. And keep that frame of mind at all times. Now we can go through other people, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, we've gone through, right? The Bible says Isaac sowed in the land and he reaped the same year 100-fold. I don't know if you know what 100-fold is, but 100-fold is a pretty good number. For every one seed, he had 100. That's pretty crazy. It doesn't happen. It's rare, but it can happen. And the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper. He continued prospering until he became very prosperous. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants. And the Philistines envied him. People are going to envy you, saints. But just hang on there. Jacob, the Bible says the same thing, became exceedingly prosperous. Of course, it's natural, saints, but these guys are types of us spiritually. That we get to prosper in a level spiritually they never even knew about. So the Bible's very clear to keep those things. In the third Exodus, We type it out with what Moses says finally in Deuteronomy 30 and 5. Then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. Huh. He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. Hallelujah. He will send a voice in this age to turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. Look at the fathers who possessed the land, the Bible, the Word of God. They took possession of it. They became their thoughts. It became their words. It became their feelings. It became every part of their life. I'm just going to turn it off. You know, it's just the Word of God became everything they thought about, every way they handled. They knew that for every aspect of life, God's Word could be applied. That's how the apostles did it. The early church did it that way. They got that through Christ. Christ taught them. It is not about you listening to a priest or a rabbi telling you, you better do this or else. We're all watching you. That was wrong. That was incorrect. God never had any intention of throwing religion at us. He never wanted that. He wanted to make a connection. Religion is indirect. Connection is direct. Relationship is direct. This is what God's desire has always been. And so he's plowed past the religions and the traditions of man to make this connection through Christ himself. God becoming a man so he could be touched and handled and felt and seen, and he himself could understand and touch us as well and finally come right in and live within us. This is what our God has done for us. And we have so much to be thankful for, so much to praise him for. For all that he does and all that he's doing, we need not look at any man, any person. It's not you. It's not me. It's not the preacher. It's not even Brother Branham. It's nothing like that. But we are all God's channels to work through. He himself is manifesting himself through every single one of us. Let's never give any credit to anybody but Almighty God. Do you believe that? That's all he's doing. He's saying, who are you listening to? Whose voices are you listening to? Because some voices are not accurate. They're not correct. They're leading us astray. But we need to turn off those things and let the still small voice, let him come down in a pillar of fire. Let him come down in your room in the still of the night. Hallelujah. In a cloud. Amen. Let him speak to you out of his whirlwind. Let him speak into your heart right now. Perhaps he's speaking to you and letting you know, I've called you. I've chosen you before the foundation of the world. You're my seed. You're my offspring. You're my gene. Hallelujah. You're me in expression in a way that he doesn't express himself in a pillar of fire, but he can express himself through his children. Hallelujah. Each one of you is a unique expression of deity. Hallelujah. Of divine power and presence. And this is what is great. This gives God more glory and more joy when he sees himself reflected in us. We think, oh, I want to see myself. I want to see myself in Christ. That's wonderful. But you know what God loves? He loves to see himself in you. Hallelujah. He says, oh, that's a little piece of myself. Now, some of us parents, we see things in our kids. Then we go, oh, that's me, but I don't want to see that. Hallelujah. And if you got a very astute wife, she's saying, that's definitely you, honey. you go ahead and beat that out of him. I'm not going to. I'd like to beat it out of you, but... Right? So, but when God is so perfect that he doesn't even see those things. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us of all those frailties, the faults, you know, the flaws. God takes you flaws and all. Because he sees something in the diamond. He sees something in the stone, in the coal. He doesn't see coal. He sees potential. He sees something in the coal. He doesn't see just a piece of clear rock that looks like a piece of glass. He sees that's a diamond. Now that's not glass. Glass you could break. That thing can break other things. I mean that's a diamond. Now that diamond needs to be loosed from the coal. I'm going to get it out of the coal. See? So God takes you coal and all, and then he pulls the coal out, or rather he pulls you, the real you, out of the coal. You have a little separation anxiety. Well, I used to live like that. That's, who cares? That's okay. That's all part of your story. The Bible even says, don't forget the stone from whence you were hewn and the pit that God brought you out of. Don't forget those things. Don't forget where you come from, because you come from nothing. But God saw value in something that was considered nothing by everyone else. They saw a pit. They saw a rock. They didn't see anything. But God saw value. saw value. And he through Christ, through bloody, scarred, skillful hands, reached down among the thorns and pulled out a rose and said, check that out. He reached down and pulled out that glass, and he might have had to chip away and chip away. You came to the Lord. You came to Christ. Chip, chip. Your friends rejected you. Chip, chip. You know, your family made fun of you. They got upset with you. Chip, chip, chip. You're like, ouch, ouch, ouch. This hurts. But God is saying, I'll be done. When are you going to be done, right? How many experienced that? I'll be done when the light hits you and it's a rainbow color coming out the other side. I want to see all my nature coming out of you. Because I want to see myself coming out of you. Because that's who's really wealthy. That's who's really wealthy. You're a diamond. You may be a diamond in the rough. You may be a diamond out of the rough. You may be a diamond on the cutting vise. Who knows? But we're all diamonds. We value each other. You know, some of us are unfinished diamonds. But then we don't reject you. In fact, we look at you and say, wow, I wonder what Brother Tom's going to be. That's going to be amazing, right? You can say that to you, right? Brother Tom, yeah. I wonder what, wow, it's pretty. Look at that guy. He's all shaped all like this. But we see God, chip, chip. And he's over there, ow, ooh. He'll call me up sometimes and say, Brother Elijah, I don't know what to do. You know, chip, chip. It's okay. You're in the Master's hands. He created the universe. He ordained you to be on earth today. You are here because God designed you for this time. And he's going to do that. He's going to work on us. He's going to chip. He's not finished with me yet. He's not finished with me yet, saints. You know, you got to be able to still believe in me because you got to believe in what I potentially am becoming, not just what I am presently. I'm believing in you the same way. This is how we can really help each other, how we can bless each other, pray for each other, how we can be Jesus to each other. That makes sense? So let them do that and keep that thought in mind. I want you to really reflect on that this week. Who do I listen to? You know, who do I listen to on the radio? Who do I listen to on CDs or what have you? Who do I listen to in my family? Who influences me the most? Does that person or does that source have the results that I'm looking for in my life? Because if they don't, guess what you're going to get? You're going to get what they get. You ever see young people in church, you know, in camp meetings, complaining about the married couples? Huh. They don't know what they're doing. It's funny, right? You ever see people without children complaining about the parents with children? You ever see that? The experts are always the ones who haven't been there yet. But where are they getting their source of information from? Who knows? The fact of the matter is they'll come around later when they have their kids and they're married and they'll be saying, man, I needed to ask you some questions. Can you help me through this? Suddenly you're an expert. But before that, you were a failure in their eyes. So, saints, you and I have to really pay attention to what's going in these ears. And as Jesus called it, a spiritual ear in your heart. He that has an ear to hear. What's going into there? If you're hearing things, if you listen to the news and you feel depressed, stop it. Why are you doing that? You're actually, as Brother Branham said it, ascending tower. You're a radio tower. But radio towers don't just put out vibrations. They take it in. They're also receiving. It's both ways. You take something in, it's going to come out. Jesus said, what corrupts us is not just eating, the physical, but it's spiritually what's coming out of us is corrupting us. So you have to be very careful. Your thoughts and your words are what's changing your life. If you want things in your life to change, you've got to change things in your life. And we get to do it with its correct voice. You've got the Word of God. You have no excuse. I have no excuse. The Bible is at our fingertips literally now. And it's amazing. I talk to people, hey, they go, where's that scripture in the Bible? You know, it says something about something, something, something. I'm like, go on your phone and go look it up. I don't know where to go. Like, wait, you don't have an app yet? I saw your phone. It had like 50 apps on there. And I don't know what they were, but they were like all colorful apps. You go, check out all my apps. Where's the Bible? Oh, it's not on there. Well, get it on there. In fact, get the message on there too. Now, I don't like smartphones because they make me feel dumb. That's why I don't like them. There's other reasons why we don't like them. But if you've got to use it for business, if you have one, and nowadays you almost have to have one, you can't even hardly do anything anymore. In fact, I just talked to a lady who had her older phone. She said, I love my phone. Nice phone. And then she did a recent patch download or something, and it burnt her antenna. It just killed her phone. And I'm like, that's pretty good. They're getting smarter and smarter. How to get them in to get a new phone. We have ways. But what I'm saying is, everything else we have in our lives, we should be very intelligent and smart about how do we get the food near us at all times. Right? You guys have comfortable rooms in your homes? Like there's a drawer you can pull open, there's the chocolates? Right? The chips, whatever. It's like, it's right there. Why isn't the Word of God like that in your life? Like he said, have it written on your doorpost, have it on your bedpost. He said, in fact, hang it right over your head. Like it's like your third eye. You know, it's kind of, God had that plan way before the Hindus did. Have the Word of God right there. Have it written all over your wrists, in your hands. God wants to mark you up with his Word. Have it in every part of your life. Let his voice constantly be rolling through you. And let it become now that the words you're starting to speak, because the thoughts you're thinking are his Word. You know, the cells in your body are actually hoping and waiting that you'll hurry up and get that. All creation, including the cells in your body, are waiting for the sons and daughters of God to start speaking God's language. They're just waiting. They haven't heard it in forever. It's not difficult, saints, but we make it difficult. You know, I remember learning German. I was 14 years old. I wanted to learn German. Don't ask me why. It took me 2 years. I remember when I got to the place, and I remember learning that there was something called, I can't think of what it's called now, but it had to do with... when you get fluent in a language, you start thinking in the language. That's what it was. And I knew I was thinking in language because I started dreaming in German. For real. I was like speaking in German and thinking of, I would see things and I would explain them in German. I was figuring out how to put words together to make a sentence. I knew enough of the rules, enough words to do it. And I feel like we just, for whatever reason, we haven't quite gotten there. We know the message. We know God's word, we have some basics, but we need to just become one with this thing. You know, where we just think in the language. We're thinking in this language. We're thinking God's word. It's just God's word in our minds. We have the mind of Christ. You know, it's not enough to have the mind of Christ. It's okay to have the mind of Christ. But when are you going to allow the mind of Christ to be your mind? Am I right? Because so much of the time, I wonder if we all experience this, but we're having arguments between the mind of Christ and your mind. I mean, it's a little schizophrenic, friends. What we need to do is say, shut up, mind, old mind, be quiet. I'm putting you off. I'm putting on the new man, Christ Jesus, with his mind, and I'm going to start thinking with his mind. You know, people struggle with things, and it's really a lot of times we don't need to be. It's a little bit of a figment of our imagination, but the fact of the matter is, our own voice. Remember, we went through the whole list. We should listen to God, the Bible, apostles and prophets. You know, fivefold ministry. Who God's, you know, message of the hour. We got voices that we can hear that are true voices that are going to lead us correctly. But sometimes it's our own voice that sends out a counter-transmission that works against the other voice we're trying to have emanated in our lives. We're trying to have the voice of God, the promises of God, the blessings of God rolling out in our lives. We want that. We desire that. Is that correct? And then we end up sending out our own voice and our own thoughts and even our own feelings that are kind of negative. And it ends up negating any possibility. If God is with us, where are all the miracles? It's not God's problem. It's our problem. Because Jesus was very clear. If you say to this mountain, be removed, and believe it with all your heart, anything you ask, you believe, you'll receive it as long as you don't doubt. And that little doubting thing is the problem. And we just need to deal with it. It's not something that's impossible. It's very possible. And that's what we're going to go through. And we're going to start with small things. I'll give you a small miracle of how this works. Remember last Sunday we spoke on the first session on this? And on the way to church, there was a song on a CD I have. It's the first song on the CD. And Sister Ruth knows this because what happened was, on the way to church, we were singing it, and I was thinking in my heart, man, it'd be good to learn this. I don't know if this is in our repertoire of songs, but it's such a good song. I just love it. It's a very revivalist type song, right? When I stop and think of what he's done for me, I just want to thank him. I just want to praise him. I mean, it's just something about that. And all I was doing was thinking intently how nice it would be to sing this. In the back of my mind, I'm thinking the process of learning the song, getting it up, and we could learn it. We might have to have some of the singing brothers help out. Hallelujah. So what does Sister Ruth do as she goes up there to start the first song at the end of the service? She plays this song. Listen, saints, it's little, and you might say, it's amazing, this is how our God works, it's amazing, God works, and God does, it is God doing it. See, that's the world God lives in. That's the world Brother Branham lived in, that other world. And we just say, oh, we elevate him because God is God, Jesus is Jesus, Brother Branham was who. No, that was all teaching us a world we have access to, if we would like to have access to it. You see, I can tell you that I have the mind of Christ, but how many here would raise your hand? I have the mind of Christ. Who could raise your hand? Wait, no, Brother Tom, you can't. I have it. How can you have it? You have it because we have it. And God could literally, if Brother Tom hurts himself, let's say he's in his garage and he just drives a screwdriver through his hand. Please don't do this, Brother Tom. Don't do this at home. And I could sense it. It could happen. Where I could sense it. I could call him up. Brother Tom, you okay? Yeah, brother, I'm just right now. See, that just seems like, oh, he's calling me at an inopportune time. No, it wasn't that. There was something that could be going on. You could experience it. We're all able to experience this on a much higher level. Jesus did it all the time. Everywhere he went, you think people were just running into him? Boom, hey, can you help me out? It looked like a life of interference. Trying to go one way and somebody directs him this way and then he's directed that way. It isn't that. He's walking under vision. And it's not that he necessarily has visions all the time because, you know, we know he did a lot. But sometimes it's just he understood that nothing was a coincidence. Nothing, everything was serendipity in a way. You know, an unthought of blessing coming your way. He lived in such a life that he just knew God was in this. Anything would happen, he just, God's in that one. God's in that. And Brother Branham lived like that, and I try to live like that. This is where I believe we need to go. You know, like to look under my car and see this puddle under there when it hadn't rained all night, and I'm going, okay, God is in this. That's a hard thing to do. To be driving the Neon and have the thing go bzzz on the highway and the timing belt's busted, and I luckily got it off the, not luckily, but blessedly got it off the road safely. Could be something to say, oh no, where's God when I need him most? No, instead, God is in this. God is in this. And good timing, my brother-in-law, Nate, you all know Nate Painter, who's a mechanic, he came up, and he showed me the ropes on Copart, and we bid on a car, and we got ourselves a Ford Focus 2007 we won the bid at $650, and they wanted $1,200, and we settled on $775, so got ourselves a nice car, under 100,000 miles on it, normal wear and tear. I still haven't seen it yet, so. But it doesn't matter to me. I'm not thinking about what if this, what. I'm not thinking about that. I've chosen not to think about it. I've chosen to think my path is blessed. I'm heading toward a rapture. I don't care. Everything is going to be in my path is my blessings. They're all mine. It's all mine. I get to have it. Don't be picky. Brother Branham said, when you're born again, you are baptized into, he called it the arcade. You know what an arcade is? It's an old word, right? It's like a mall, a shopping mall. Can you imagine walking into a mall? No, we don't like malls today because it's all merchandise. But forget about that. I want you to think about it in terms of, as he said it, it's a mall, but you own it all. It's all yours. You need healing? It's over there. Just go grab it. Take it off the shelf. You need spiritual blessings right there. Just grab it. Oh, I need some financial help. He said, oh, that's up higher. You might have to take a ladder. But don't worry, there's the ladder over there. He says, it's prayer. The way to climb up is to get down on your knees. And he says, then you can reach it. So he just talks about, you know, he's just, what he's sharing with us is this powerful concept of the world he lived in, that he thought that spiritual things were always all around him at all times. And they were all reachable for those who are born again and saved by God's grace. It's all reachable. In our minds, though, and you'll see oftentimes people will come up, you'll say, you have ulcers in your stomach, very bad, bleeding ulcers. Amen, you hear a little voice. Yes. Go, be happy, Jesus makes you well. Go rejoicing. So many times, go rejoicing, go be happy. And what he says when he explains it later is that he said he knew that all they really needed was to accept what Jesus had already done for them and just be filled with happiness and joy. Put a smile on your face, saints. Get happy. Wake up in the morning and say, ah, just say the word. This word is a great word. I love this word. Just say bliss. You can't feel bad when you say that word. You can't feel down. You can't help it. Bliss. It's so cool. There's no description. It doesn't have to have one. It's just a euphoria. There's another one. You want another word? Euphoria. You can't explain it. I just feel good. You say, Brother Elijah, I don't feel good. Well, then, let's go back. How's your relationship with the Lord? It's really good. Okay, great. Number two, who you're listening to. What are the voices that are permeating your brain? Because that is a receiving and a sending station, the prophet of God taught us. And everything it's receiving, it's turning right out and it's magnifying it. And that's the world you and I are living in. Amen? So I'm going to give you two people as examples and we're going to close. Two examples that Brother Branham gave us. Two examples you can learn about all the world. That's always existed. Two people. And you have to choose which one you want to be. Brother Branham says, you ever been around somebody you really love? They could be family, friends. You love them, but you don't want to hang around them very long. You have to get away. And then you have other people that you love them too, but you just love being around them. You can't hardly pull yourself away, right? Now, listen, we're all busy people. We live in Connecticut. We're Americans. We're busy, busy, busy. We don't have time. We don't. It's sad. I live on a street with great people. We see them at Christmas because we carol, and they give us cookies, and they love having us, but they never say hi, hardly ever. We hardly ever talk to them. That's just the world we live in. This is what I'm saying, though. Which of those two people do you want to be? And what Brother Branham taught on that, he says, it is whatever's going on internally that they're emanating out through their life. That's what's either attracting you or causing you to want to repulse. I don't want to be the person who's driving people away. I want to be someone that people want to be around. They love being around me. They may recognize my ignorance and so on, but they know that I've been with Jesus. Who chooses that? How many here chooses, I've got to be that. Let me be that. And whenever those other things come in my mind, I'm going to cast down all these thoughts and all these reasonings, and I'm going to accept the true success that comes from Almighty God. He wants me to prosper. God wants me to succeed. And I mean spiritually. So that's number one. Spiritually and then emotionally, mentally, every way God desires us to prosper. There's one thing where Brother Branham in a message at New Year said, and I'll close on this. He said, may God bless you. May he prosper you this year. May he give you everything you have need of. And he says, may he bless you health-wise. May he bless your finances. May he bless you materially. I mean, this is Brother Branham. Don't ever think that for 1 minute that he was going around depressed about, you know, hating money and money was no good. He knew how to control it. He was a real good steward. And he understood that it could be a danger, so he learned what not to do and what not to accept and how to control that, right? But when he died, he had over $3 million. That, of course, those were all offerings and things, but still, that's pretty good. A ministry that amasses $3 million in 1960 is $23 million in today's money. You didn't do too bad. You must have did something right. And obviously, he didn't spend it all. That's a second good sign. He was very frugal. But you're a good steward. You're God's child. You're made after his own image. You have his DNA. So you're the same way he is if you let him teach you how to do it. Whose voice are you listening to? Amen. God bless you. Musicians, come. You love him with all your heart? Amazing God that we serve. Let's sing, "My God Shall Supply All My Needs." We need a little Jewish worship here, don't you think? Hallelujah. Oh, did Brother Samuel have a testimony? Brother Samuel Jingbi, was that from you? You want to share it next week? I kind of robbed you of your time. Sorry about that. All right, well, let's remember that, Brother Samuel. Just remind me, okay, brother? Just let me know. So I'll make sure. You can even give me a call if you want to. Hallelujah. How many appreciates Brother Samuel, his wife, Sister Henrietta, and appreciate them. Amen. Let's sing this good old song. Amen. My God, it's written in the scriptures, "My God shall supply all your needs." So it's really a blessing. How do we know this? Because I know my God. He's supplying all my needs, so he's going to supply all your needs. You're his child too. Amen. My God.
Hallelujah. How many says that in your heart? We get to rejoice. We get to be happy. He said, even when you're persecuted, shout and jump for joy. Hallelujah. We get to do this.
Out all his wealth, everything he has. Say God bless you till we meet again. God.